Well, good morning to you. I thank God for you taking this time to join with us here at the Refuge Church. This is the first Sunday. It's our Communion Sunday. And so we're excited about all that God is up to. In spite of all of the chaos going on in our country, in our world, we declare that Jesus is greater than all of those things. And so I need you to prepare your hearts and your minds. Don't let anything stand in the way of receiving all that God wants to speak to you and confirm in you and say about you and do for you in these next few moments, that the power of God may, that the kingdom may come, that His will may be done right here on earth as it already is in heaven. Come on, let's give God some praise today.
Let's pray, Refuge. Father God, we thank you so much for waking us up this morning. We ask that in this moment that you might prepare our hearts and our minds to hear from you anew on today, Lord. We recognize and confess that your word is as relevant today as it ever was and as it ever will be. So use it to transform us in our here and now, to the end that your kingdom might come to bear right here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Refuge, it's time for us to make some declarations together. This is your first or second time worshiping with us, or even if it's not, welcome to the Refuge Church, a safe place where everyone can grow one step closer to Jesus Christ every single day. We are biblical, balanced, and beneficial in everything that we do. We are Christ-centered, Bible-based, Spirit-filled, and kingdom-oriented. And we are built for this. Oh, I need you to say that last one more time. Don't just say the words. I want you to think about them. Then right now, in this very moment, we are built for this. Amen.
Good morning, Refuge. It's time to pass the peace. If you're new to our service, this is where we virtually show the love of Christ to you, our guests, and our partners, families, and friends. Take the time to like us on Facebook or subscribe to our YouTube channel, or you can leave an encouraging word below in our comment section. All right, Refuge, let's pass the peace.
Your name is something we can. living room. Right there in your living room. We give him praise. There's none like you, God. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. Come on.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
We not done yet.
Hallelujah.
Won't you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for another day of life. And thank you for your continued grace upon our lives. We thank you for Jesus Christ. And we thank you for what we have in you because of what he paid for us. And so now, God, in these next few moments, I pray that you might touch our hearts and the hurt that's in them, that you might touch our heads and work through the hangups that are there, that we might open ourselves up to receive what you want to say to us. Lord, in the midst of a lot of chaos, a lot of crisis in our country, we need you like we've never needed you before. So Lord, in these next few moments, anoint my mouth, anoint my head, use me for your glory. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, I declare that you are my strength and my redeemer. Now God, speak your word through me to these your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, it appears, a very cursory look around at our country, it appears that God has allowed two different viruses to come to bear in 2020, and in their wake has exposed some things in our country and in our culture. The one virus that you obviously know about, it has swiftly killed over 100,000. And in its wake, it has exposed where we really are as a people and how we value the lives of the elderly and how we value the lives of those who are most vulnerable in our culture and in our society. The second virus was exposed through an act of evil. And we've been able to see that this second virus that has killed hundreds of thousands slowly, in its wake, we're beginning to see the inequities of how things are, that we live in a country where we declare that all men are created equal, but it's obvious that not all are equal under the law. And so in this time, and if you're like me, you've been watching the news and weeping and crying and seeing what's happening, you have noticed, like I have, that it's easy to get caught up in the toxicity. It's easy to get pulled to one side or the other. It's easy to be mad and to blame individuals for the things that are going on. It's easy to allow bitterness to well up in your heart and the vitriol and the anger that has been exposed in our country at all of these hundreds of years of inequality happening. It's easy to get there and to be stuck in the midst of all the chaos and all the stuff that's happening. And so the question becomes, what are we supposed to do? What's supposed to be our stance as believers in the midst of all of this chaos? And as I've been praying through this, God brought up a passage of scripture out of Exodus. Exodus chapter 15, right around verse 22, the people of God have been brought out of Egyptian slavery by God himself. They've crossed the Red Sea, and God has allowed that sea to close up on all of the enemies of the people of God. And they've just celebrated at the beginning of chapter 15. There's this song of praise and celebration about how God has brought them victory and given them freedom. And then right after you get out of that song of praise, you get this incident that happens in Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. I'm reading from the New King James translation. Exodus 15, 22, the Bible says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days' journey in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" Get the picture. The people are traveling from the coast of the Red Sea, from the other bank, and now they're traveling into the desert. And as they're traveling through this dry desert, they come up on this oasis, and the oasis has been named Marah. And as they come to this oasis, they find water, but the water was toxic. It was brackish. It was, the Bible says, it was bitter. They couldn't drink it. The people that drank it became sick from ingesting it. Now, what's interesting is that they have just come out of Egyptian slavery and being exposed to the Egyptian gods. One of the things that happens in Egyptian religious systems, and even in the ancient Near East, you can even go to those who understand or know the story of Beowulf. Many of those ancient religions, in their creation story, the water that happens, that covers the earth, is a symbol of chaos. And as they come to this place where there is water, the fact that it is bitter creates chaos in the camp. The water was undrinkable. The chaos that was there, what made it, it had a bitter taste to it. It was toxic to those that ingested it. And they began to complain to Moses, "What are we going to drink? How do we handle this? We can't do anything with this bitter, chaotic, toxic situation that God has brought us to. God has allowed this situation, but what are we going to do with it?" And I love what happens in verse 25. Moses cries out to the Lord, and the Lord shows Moses a tree. And when he had cut the tree down and cast it into the waters were made sweet. And there he made a statute and an ordinance with them, and he tested them, and he said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Well, watch this. This is where it gets good. God directs Moses to a tree. And he tells him, cut the tree down and put the tree in the water. It's not that the tree was magical. There was no pixie dust on the tree. It was simply a picture that God wanted Moses to show. That when he cut the tree down and threw the tree into the chaos, when he threw the tree into the bitterness, that which was bitter, that which was toxic, that which was chaotic, was suddenly transformed into usable form. And God said, this is a sign that if you do what I ask you to do, if you obey me, if you love me, if you walk in my commandments, I am the Lord God. He coins a new name. He says, I am Yahweh. I am the God who heals you. He says, if you'll do things my way, I'll be the God who I won't let the plagues that I put on the Egyptians, I won't let them come upon you. That tree that Moses put in was a prefigurement of what would happen with the one who was put on a tree for us. We used to sing this song in the old church. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. It was the tree that was a figure of Jesus. 1 Peter 2 and 24 reminds us that it was Jesus who bore our sins in his body on the tree, and that we, when we die to sin, we might live for righteousness. It's by the stripes laid on Jesus, Peter says, that we are healed. That tree that was thrown in the chaotic, toxic, bitter water was a picture of what happens when we put our faith in Jesus. and what he has done to deal with the sin sickness that has caused the diseases that we now see. That when we add Jesus to the chaos, when we bring Jesus to bear on the bitterness in our lives, when Jesus is there, he is the transforming power to turn the bitter into the sweet, to turn the chaotic into the usable, because he is the Lord who heals us. He can heal our racism. He can heal our classism. He can heal our humanism. As long as we're bringing Jesus to bear, not our political party, not our viewpoints, not the kickbacks and the clapbacks of which lives matter, but when we bring Jesus to bear, the one who bore our sin on the tree, when we add Jesus to the mix, he becomes the Lord who heals us. And I don't know about you, but in these days and in these times, we need the power of Jesus, the healing power of Jesus, to make things right. We need to make sure that we add Jesus to the situation, not trying to stray from him, but trying to run to him in these times. And that's why I think it's so important. I think it's so interesting that all of this stuff is culminating with these various viruses and all the fallout from them. And we have come on the first Sunday, as is our custom, to this point where we remember Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11:26, Paul told the Corinthians, he says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You put Jesus on display. You add the tree to the water. Every time you do this, you're pointing back, but you're also pointing forward. And so in this moment, as we prepare to come to the Lord's table, I'm going to ask that you get your crackers, your juice, your communion kit, whatever you might have, that this is the time where we need to proclaim the Lord's death. We need to add Jesus to the chaos. We need to bring Jesus to bear on what's going on in our lives and in our world. And I'm going to ask that as you prepare yourself, that you would do what Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 11. He told the Corinthians, you got to examine yourself. You don't want any other sicknesses and diseases to come from disobedience. We got to make sure that we're right with the Lord. So listen, in the next few moments, take a time. I'm going to give you a moment where there's bitterness, where there's anger, where there's unforgiveness, where there's things that you know that you have done that you had no business doing. This is the time to bring Jesus to the equation. It's time to put Jesus in the situation. Ask him to forgive. Ask him to let go. Allow him to heal what was broken by the sin sickness. Let's take just a moment and prepare our hearts to meet with the Lord in Holy Communion. Now, Lord, we come to you broken, bitter. We come to you with all of our drama, all of our baggage, and we recognize that we need Jesus in the midst of this chaos. Father, forgive us for all the times that we've tried to do this without you, where we haven't walked in obedience and fulfilled your commandments. We have no excuse, we have no response, we have no repudiation. We simply ask, we beg you to see the blood of Jesus Christ shed on that cross for us as the only viable answer for our sin. And so, Lord, we ask that in these next few moments that you might be the Lord who heals us. Forgive us, make us right with you. Take these elements now, God. It's just a simple wafer and a little bit of juice, but they're symbols of what you have done and what it cost you to heal us and to fix the bitterness in our lives. Lord, we thank you in advance for what's going to happen because we added Jesus to the mix. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says that in that moment, Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it before he gave it to them. He said, this represents my body broken for you. Let's take and eat together. In the same manner, the Bible says that Jesus took the cup, blessed it. He took a sip out of it before he gave it to them. He said, this represents my blood shed for the remission, for the taking away of your sins. Let's take and drink together. And now is our custom, as is our custom according to 1 Corinthians 11, we believe that the power of God is available for the healing of all sin sickness, all physical sickness, all mental sickness, all emotional sickness. And so I want you right now, as a sign of your faith and your connection, I need you to stretch your hands toward your TV screen, to your phone, to your device, and we declare by the shed blood of Jesus, by the stripes laid on Jesus, we declare healing, we declare wholeness, we declare deliverance, and right now in the name of Jesus, we stand right with God because of what Jesus has done for us. We stand in sweetness because Jesus took away the bitterness. We declare it done, and we declare it so in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you agree with that, I need you to give God a shout of praise right there in your office, in your home, in your living room. Give him a shout of praise because Jesus makes it sweet.
Good morning, Refuge Church. We only have a few announcements for you today. Calling all graduates, first of all, congratulations, you did it. If you don't mind, send us your name, a picture of yourself, degree, school, and future plans to info@refugechurchmiami.org. Also, Father's Day is coming up real soon, so dads everywhere and father figures everywhere, if you don't mind, send us a 60-second video, 60 seconds or less, of dads being dads. If you don't mind, do that for us real soon. Thank you. Well, it's that time again. Every 4 years, you know what we gotta do. It's time to vote. Let your voice be heard. If you haven't registered to vote, we encourage you to do that. You can register to vote or request a mail-in ballot at miamidade.gov. Even if you get the ballot, you don't have to mail it back. You can mail it back, or you can take it to the poll with you and fill it out there. Either way, we encourage you to vote. Your voice, your vote. So one more thing, we have a special guest next week, so you really don't want to miss it. God bless each and every one of you. Be blessed.
Well, amen. Those are our announcements. You've heard all the things that we've got going on. I got one more to add right before offering time. I'm interested in hearing from each and every one of you about those victory verses, those verses that you've been using to get you through this time. If you have a favorite verse, if there's a verse that God has kind of brought to life in your life during this time of disease and struggle and whatever else is going on, I want you to send that to us at info@refugechurchmiami.org. I want to hear from you because I'm going to take those, I'm going to compile them, and I'm going to be teaching a series on how he got me over. And I'm going to be using whatever you send. I already told my pastor I'm stealing this idea from him. And so I want you to do that for me if you don't mind. Send me that victory verse. Send me that favorite verse that you've been using during this time that God has been using in your life to keep you buoyed. And I want to teach a series from those verses, from those victory verses on how he brought us over. All right, listen, it's offering time in the house. It's time to bless God with our gifts of tithe, offering, or love offering. We have several different ways that you can give. Remember that you give as unto the Lord. And so regardless of what's happening in your life, there are some of us that we trust God, we believe God, we're committed to God to the point that we're willing to give a portion, a tenth, a percentage of our monthly income back to him just to say thank you, just to say that we are in relationship with you. That's one way that you can give, is as a tither. You can also give offerings. The Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, it deals with the whole idea of blessing God because he has been a blessing to us. And that when we give that offering, God in turn blesses us with His grace, and He returns that seed that we sow. He returns it in our lives, and so much so that we even will have more seed to sow the next time it's time to sow. Then there's also what we call a love offering. That's where you want to be a blessing to the messenger of God for the message that God has brought you. And God says that when you bless like that, I'll take the blessing that's reserved for the prophet and I'll place it on your house. In whatever way that you give, remember, it's always as unto the Lord. It's always an act of worship. And so let's take just a few moments and pull out your phone, pull out your device, in whatever way that you desire to give, in any of these four ways, let's bless God with our gifts right now. Listen, at the baccalaureate service, the last service that they had right before graduation when I was at Morehouse College, the Morehouse College Glee Club got up and they sang a song from an old Negro spiritual. Lord, I done all that you told me to do. We have done all that the Lord has asked us to do. And so I want to pray us out and I want to pray God's blessings on your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for who you are showing yourself to be. Thank you that you're shaking the very foundations of our culture. Those things that are not like you, you are exposing for a reason. And God, the fact that we're still here means that your power is in us, your purpose is on us. And so God, this week, use us like never before. Use us in ways we didn't think possible because we have decided to add Jesus to the chaos. We pray, oh God, for a sweet week for these your people. As we walk in kingdom purpose, let your kingdom be done on us, in us, and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, have a great week. I love you. There's nothing that you can do about it.